Hey, everybody. Good morning. That was a great opening. Who would have wanted just to sit and listen to Gideon talk for another half an hour, though? Yeah, that was great. You said a lot in just a few minutes. It's so nice to hear about the Lord's going to do with you and your thoughts about it. And investing all the time and getting trained is so amazing, guys. That's great. Thanks for being here. We're stepping out of our series this morning for 1 week. The series, of course, is Hide or Seek, about helping us understand that our God is seeking others and that we have a choice of whether we're going to follow him or not. But following him means telling others about him as well. But just as part of that, maybe, Danny, do you have the video ready for Alpha? No, not ready? Okay. Well, we won't show a video about Alpha, but there's this opportunity, Ken mentioned it as well, to be praying about somebody. You can ask the Alpha, and it starts in a week today. And if you're seeking information about Alpha, maybe I'll just direct you to ask Terry for information. Ask him any questions at all today that you have about what it is, but it's a very simple introduction to Christianity for people who don't know much about Christianity, and you'll have a chance to debate it discussion with those that are in the group. Joanna Werner here. Joanna, it's so good to see you, and the baby too. What's your baby's name again? I'm sorry, I can't remember anything when I'm at the front. I called you Joanna Werner as well, which is so out of date. Clay, welcome, Clay. Nice to have you with us from Columbia. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll start our message for this morning. Our great God and Savior, the message of hope, Lord, we need hope. We try to live without you, yet it doesn't work. And we acknowledge that you're the great creator of the world, and we struggle sometimes with accepting whether or not you're trustworthy. Whether we can trust you even exist. We struggle sometimes with accepting whether or not you're good and that we can place our life in your hands and obey you in every little detail of our life. Pray, Lord, and I ask that you will challenge us today. Challenge us to not accept wrong ideas about you, but to talk them over with you. I ask that you'll make your word crystal clear today. Your word is such a source of life. Lord, we know in Canada we have acknowledged that Christianity seems to have brought destruction to the native people living here. But you describe your coming to earth as the source of abundant life. We ask, Lord, that we will, for healing in our native populations in Canada, but also healing in our own life, they will accept your word. Lord, please use my feeble mouth today to make a difference, to make a change by pointing to people to you, Jesus. In your name we pray, Savior in heaven. Amen. So you remember in the, I want to be open about this, that today's message is intended to challenge you to consider things differently and to do things differently. It's almost the start of the year. Last Sunday was the Welcome to the New Year message. But this Sunday is almost the start of the year as well. And some of you are still writing out what you want to do this year and what your goals are going to be and thinking about your goals even for this coming week. And this message is intended to provoke you to change. And we've had a workshop about spiritual gifts in September with Jerry, and it was really substantial. And then we had two follow-up messages on the topic, and today is going back to that same message about spiritual gifts and challenging us, because I also desperately need God's challenge as well, but challenging us, Danny, can you put the verse up on the screen, that we will strive to excel in this area. And that's the message for this morning. So the series itself covered a few points. Jerry mentioned that spiritual gifts are a divine grace. Spiritual gifts are an ability that every Christian, every single Christian, is given an ability to do at least one thing because the Holy Spirit is giving you that talent. It's from Him and it is about Him. So Jerry also taught us that it's not the same as your natural abilities, although it can be closely connected with your natural abilities. Every Christian is given at least one of these gifts, and that the purpose of these gifts is the building up of other people. It's not for your own self, it's for other people, to make another person a stronger in their Christian walk. And Jerry also taught us that these aren't just for Sunday mornings when we're here, but 24/7. That's the way the Holy Spirit wants us to use our spiritual talents. And then finally, he emphasized that love is what matters the most, the loving each other. We can't proceed with this topic in our life without focusing on letting God's love flow through us. So then that was September 23rd and 24th. That was followed up with two sermons. The first one was to emphasize again that God has gifted you and placed you in contact with the people in your life for a purpose. He is not just random that you're here today, that you have the neighbors you have and the family you have. It's God's plan. He's put you in contact with these people so that you will have an impact on them. So be close. Join a small group. Find ways of spending time when getting to know others better. Because the ministry is being done by you. It's not being done by the workers at this service this morning. The ministry is being done by you when you leave here today. And then the next message, it was from Frank Allen, was a message to stir us up, to use our gift, to identify what it is the Lord is doing through you and stir you up to start to use the gift. Then today's message is from 1 Corinthians, one of the main passages in the Bible about this topic, where the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was pushing the Corinthians to strive to excel in the spiritual gift. And that's the purpose of today's message, is to provoke us to strive to excel in how we use the spiritual gift. And you have to understand a little bit of what was going on in Corinth. They had picked a couple of favorite gifts, and they were emphasizing those. We won't see that too much in the message today, but that was their background, was they definitely believed in it, that God was doing this spiritual gift stuff. It's called here the manifestations of the Spirit. They believed that, but they were emphasizing just a couple of them, and they were the ones that they thought were flashy, that the speaking in foreign tongues was the one they thought was the flashiest. But Paul was encouraging them to reach for excellence in how they use their gift. So that's what we'll look at. And I'm going to make 5 points in all. The first one, I'll list the points. That how do we excel at how we use our gift? The first one is point people to Jesus. The second one is rely on the Holy Spirit. The third one is build up other people. The fourth point is value all the gifts. And the last point is know how the gift fits in to the collective body. There's a lot to cover here in our next 25 minutes. But with the Lord's help, it'll be possible. Okay, can you turn, if you have your Bible, let's read Scripture. Danny, leave that one up. It's not the Scripture we'll be looking at, but we're going to go back earlier in that section of Paul's letter to Corinth to chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read the first few verses together, and then talk about it, and then move on to the next verses. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. That applies to us today. God does not want us to not know about this topic. He wants us to be informed about this topic. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. I misread it, so I'll do it again. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. So their background is different than ours. I don't imagine any or many of us were worshiping a rock or a piece of wood before accepting Jesus as our Savior. But that was their background. They that's what they were doing in their religion. But Paul is emphasizing to them that these are mute idols. That's what he wants to point out to them, is that they were rocks that didn't speak. And he's going to contrast that with the God who does speak. Verse 3, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So this is the point number one. To excel in the way we use our spiritual gifts points people to Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in general, and in everything about our spiritual gift as well. It's pointing people to Jesus. If we want to excel in the way we function with our spiritual gift, we're not going to be pointing people at our own self. We're not going to be directing people to how good we are at doing something. We're not going to be pointing them even to the quality of the meal that we prepare for the Lord. It's always going to try to be linking it back to pointing people to look at how great and amazing Jesus Christ is. And it says here that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That sounds a little bit, if you just take it as in words, it doesn't sound like a big deal. Anybody can say the word, Jesus is Lord. That's not the depth of what is being described in this verse. What it means is that to acknowledge that Jesus is the deity of the universe before whom you bow and submit every aspect of your life, that is something that the Holy Spirit alone can do. And that is what he is doing through our use of spiritual gifts. So the first point drawn from these verses here is that when you are serving the Lord with the abilities that the Holy Spirit has given you, allow the focus to go towards Jesus. Allow it to be done in a way where it's going to point out to people that God is amazing. God is amazing. And sometimes we don't have to use words to say that, but sometimes we have to use words to say that. I'll use an example. And I have a goal today of mentioning quite a few of the different spiritual gifts. I have a list of them, a checklist to mention, because otherwise I keep pointing to my favorite ones, and that's not scriptural. So how about if your spiritual gift is mercy? That's something we're told in the Bible. Those are the people in this room who the Holy Spirit is giving you the ability to feel sympathy with another person's hurt, and to express that sympathy to people. That's the gift of mercy. So if you come alongside somebody who is hurting and you express to them that you share their pain and you understand what it's like, just add a couple of words in there to say, this is what Jesus is like. This is what God does. And it deflects it away and points them to something, to someone who is amazing and God himself. So the first point is, it points people to Jesus. So our next point about how do we excel at spiritual gifts is, we can excel at the way we use our spiritual gift by relying on the Holy Spirit. In this next passage, I'm going to read from verse 4 to 14 in that same chapter. It's going to say the name Holy Spirit 13 times in these verses. It's repetitive. And that's not accidental. It's to remind us, to teach us, that the Holy Spirit has got to be considered as an important part of the way we are serving the Lord. Verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, you can take that as meaning the same thing as spiritual gift, as a manifestation of the Spirit, is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, the one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So did you see 13 references there to the Holy Spirit? So what's he doing in these 13 references? It mentions that he is baptizing everyone into the body of Christ. That's in verse 13. That we were all given the one Spirit to drink. In Romans chapter 8, 9, it tells us that every single Christian has the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Every single Christian has the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9 says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So it sounds like something incredibly weird that the Spirit of God is that intimately linked with us. Yet that is the difference between Christianity and religions of the rest of the religions of the world, is the empowering ability of the Holy Spirit in our lives and a very important role that he is playing in our life. You as a Christian have that Holy Spirit inside you, and it is the connection and the bond between Christians. I'll use this as a chance to give a 30-second rationale for why tonight we're happily hosting a prayer time for the churches in Perth. And one of the reasons is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's working with our brothers and sisters at Asbury Free Methodist or at Glad Tidings or at Northgate, that's the same Holy Spirit that's in us. There's one Spirit. There's a connection there between his work and the work that's happening here today. And we want to recognize that there is one body of Christians and join together for prayer. There'll be a focus tonight, especially on prayer for evangelism in our community. So all Christians have the Holy Spirit. And what else does the Holy Spirit now do with you and me? In verse 11, it says that the Holy Spirit decides what gifts to give you. It says there, just as he determines. So he indwells us. The Holy Spirit is determining our gifts. And then in verse 11 as well, and all throughout this passage, it's saying repetitively, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability. It says it's of the Spirit, through the Spirit, of the Spirit, by the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit, and the Spirit distributes the spiritual gifts to you. It's so repetitive, but it's for a purpose, to tell us that the Holy Spirit is a very important part of how we serve him. So how can we strive to excel by relying on the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is giving you the spiritual gift, it means, it doesn't come out directly out of this passage, so I'll say it's my own experience, is that prayer becomes vitally important. So there'll be people today in the fellowship room who will be giving you cream for your coffee. Now, those people giving you cream for their coffee could think of themselves as a barista, or they could think of themselves as doing the work of the God of the universe. And I say that person giving out the coffee, cream for your coffee, should pray constantly while doing that work. Because they care if we get cream. They're nice people. They care. But they also want that interaction of a service to result in you being strengthened and encouraged by the Lord. And is that possible, that coffee, that cream for your coffee, could actually result in any spiritual blessing? And the word is, I say emphatically, yes, it can be. Because one of the listed spiritual gifts is service. Another listed spiritual gifts is helps, a person who helps. Those are things that the Lord has built people to do. And he provides spiritual blessing from small interactions like, I think the person giving the cream is a helper. And the person who's coordinating and organizing the whole effort is maybe the one with service, but he's giving those people very tangible gifts that they should be praying about how they do, because it's a spiritual work. Okay, so that's point number two. The point number two is, how do we excel in the use of our spiritual gift? Well, we excel by keeping the Holy Spirit involved. It's seeking His blessing on everything we do with a spiritual gift. Okay, point number three is building up other people. It's in verse 7, what we just read. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And it's also in the verse on our screen as well. Strive to excel in building up the church. The more traditional word for that is edification. That's that activity that makes me stronger because of the way you impact me. It makes me stronger in both my intellectual and my moral service for the Lord. It helps me mature as a Christian by the way you interact with me. So we're told to excel in our spiritual gifts. So then it makes me wonder about quality. How do you measure the quality of the use of your gift? And this word excel has two aspects to it. One aspect is how often you actually use your gift. It's a quantity issue. It's the same word when there was baskets overflowing with pieces of bread from when Jesus fed the multitude through a miracle. It uses that word excel. It was excelled in bread. There was more bread than was needed. So there is an issue of simply, if you want to excel in the use of your gift, there's a counting issue. Is how often do you use your gift? How often? And it's useful to count. I have been making an effort to count a little bit myself, and I'll go a week and I'll think, I didn't use that gift a single time this week. Well, maybe some weeks that is acceptable. Maybe the Lord understands. But often that's not, I don't think that's excelling in the use of my own spiritual gifts. I don't think it's excelling when we look back and the answer is zero times. Okay, so if your gift is in administration, if you're gifted at that work of steering a ship, that's the idea from Scripture, is the person who is, you know, told where to go and then makes sure the ship gets there. But if your gift is administration and it's been a month since you've done any administration work, I challenge you that that's not excelling at the use of your gift. I'm not talking about you, Heather. I know you're on holidays this past week. It's okay. administration and just counting how many times you do it. But you know, if you make a plan, if you write down your goals for a week, can you put in there that you want this in this coming week to have, maybe the Lord would give you four opportunities to bring a word of teaching about the Bible to somebody. If the Lord's given you the ability to explain the Scriptures to people, ask Him to give you four chances this week to teach somebody about the Scripture. So there's a quantity issue when it comes to building up other people, how often we actually use that gift the Lord is doing through us. But the second issue is about quality, the quality of our use of the gift. And this is a bit of a dangerous one, because I don't think the Lord talks too much about quality. An example of that is Paul said when he went to Corinth that, you know, he was gifted as being an apostle, as a teacher, as a prophet. He spoke in tongues. He lists his gifts. But he said when he arrived in Corinth, he spoke with stammering words. He was weak in his speech. The quality probably would have been considered low, but yet the quality actually, I suggest, was very high, because a whole city heard the gospel through him. A church was started. People were saved and grew in the Lord because of the way he used his words. So when we think about quality, there is an aspect of if your gift is hospitality, That can be shown up, I think that is the gift of service that Scripture describes it. But if your gift is hospitality and everybody gets food poisoning at that meal, there is a quality issue there, perhaps. But the quality issue does have a role to play at striving to actually deliver it well. But measure quality by whether or not God is using what you're doing to build others up. So you could think, well, Paul could have evaluated and said, I shouldn't have gone to Corinth. I couldn't even speak a sentence without stumbling. Yet he could say, I saw quality work there because God, the Holy Spirit, was turning my feeble words into great blessing for people. So what, measure it by whether or not it's having the impact on other people. And then I'm in a personal experiment with the Lord on this one myself, but I'll share it because I think God is good enough for this, is to say, Lord, if you're doing this through me, I expect to see you work. I expect to see you doing something, Lord, because of this. I'm not going to talk about myself because it's too easy to because I like talking about myself, but it's because I think more about my own gifts than others. But I'm going to keep it vague. But if I think, well, Lord, I'm going to do something, and I want you to show me what you're doing, how you're using it for blessing, and I'm going to take that as an indication of whether or not that there is I have a level of excelling or excellence in the use of the gift because of what you're doing, Jesus. Also, when it comes to quality, I think if you think the Holy Spirit is providing you with a spiritual gift, you need to become an expert about what the Bible teaches about that subject. You should be the expert on it. Back to the one about expressing mercy to people. What does the Bible teach about being merciful? The Bible gives a number of instructions, but one of them is crystal clear. It says, if your gift is in acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. But you need to be the expert about your spiritual gift and know those verses. Memorize those key verses about that spiritual gift because it shows that you respect what God describes as the gift. You don't want to do it your own way. You want to do it his way. And I could see why it says with cheerfulness for a person with the gift of mercy, it's not my spiritual gift, because you're being invited in to people's hurt. That's so draining on you, people. It's so draining. You show up when some of us want to run away because the people are hurting. But you show up and you give from the strength within you through that Holy Spirit strength to the people that are there. I could see why when you hear about somebody who's in pain, you would say, oh no, not again. But the Lord says, do it with cheerfulness. Go happily into people's difficulties in life. And thirdly, for the quality part, seek advice. Find somebody that you think is using the spiritual gift you've got in mind and doing it in a relevant way in our culture today, and ask them how they approach it. Watch them. Ask to be their partner. Ask to be their junior partner. Ask to serve them and watch and learn from them. Find out what is on their mind. How do they approach it? Okay, moving on to point number four. And point number four is don't undervalue a gift. And there's two big parts to this one, is don't undervalue your own gift. Don't undervalue other people's gifts. And this is a really neat verse in the Bible. We're going to read from verse 15 to 20. It's neat because there are body parts talking to other body parts, which I find kind of humorous myself, but Paul's using it as an analogy. So what do these body parts say to each other? So it's an analogy. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Now, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Many parts, but one body. It's this group of people, again, this is diversity and unity, all combined together. This is the God we serve. He is a single God with three complex parts. And now he's also continued this diversity and unity in the way we function together as well. Every one of us is different. The Holy Spirit wants every one of us to be different, and yet wants us to work as one body. But there is a warning here, is to not undervalue, don't undervalue your own spiritual gift. I fall into this problem myself. I've always struggled, as long as I can remember, with this very problem of undervaluing my own gift. And I see it in others, because there's been discussion at small group, and those discussions are confidential, but because what happens at small group. But people will say, I'm not gifted at that. I wake up in the morning, and it's all I can think about, and it's what I want to do all the time, and I've been like that for 40 years, and it's exactly what I think every Christian is like. We say, no, that's not true at all. It's not true. That's the Holy Spirit's doing that in you. If you wake up in the morning and think, I can't wait to tell somebody about Jesus today, that's not the way a lot of us are. That's the Holy Spirit creating you, giving you the spirit of evangelism, and it's unique. It's not you because you're great. It's the Holy Spirit doing that in you. And don't look around and say, I wish I could be that other person. I wish I could serve the cream at church on Sunday. But you don't look around and pick out somebody else. The Holy Spirit wants you to be you and to do what he's telling you to do. I don't know why an ear would not want to be an ear. That's what it says here. I think being ear would be a lot of fun, actually, if I was picking a body part. But the ear didn't want to be an eye. I find that humorous, but we do it ourselves. We undervalue what the Spirit has enabled us to do. This comes up when we say things like, oh, everybody can do that, when we talk about ourselves. That's not true. That's not true. The Holy Spirit has made it so that you can do that, and he turns it into spiritual blessing. Here's another one that relates. It's the, I'm too old to do it. I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see it in Scripture. I guess we could think of some scenario where a person is in a coma, and maybe, perhaps, I don't understand how the Lord's using their spiritual gift. But this applies to everybody. Or you could say, I'm too busy. You know, and that's true. Many of you are very busy, especially young parents. You're very, very busy. But I don't see the Lord saying this doesn't apply to you. It may apply to you in a way that doesn't take as much time. Maybe it's a 2-minute discussion with the checkout clerk at the grocery store that where you use your gift for blessing and the Lord turns it into a miracle. Maybe that's what happens, so it's not an additional burden on you. Or maybe you need to prioritize and not do some of the work that you're doing for the Lord and to focus in on what he is gifting you to do. That's the I'm too busy challenge, which I think relates to undervaluing the gift that we have. But then there's another part to the undervaluing gift is I don't need that gift, or I don't need that person in my life problem. And let's read verses 21 to 22. It says, now the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So to excel at our use of our spiritual gift requires us not to undervalue what the Holy Spirit is doing through us, but it requires also for us to work in teamwork with other people as well. It requires us to say to others, I need you. It's pretty clear here. It says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, let me just stop there. It doesn't say those parts of the body that are weaker. That's not what Scripture is teaching us. It's saying you may think that that part of the body is weaker, but they're actually not weaker. That person is not a weaker person than you just because they can't do what you do. That person is strong because of the Holy Spirit in the same way you are. So that part of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Now, this is the blessing of working with others, which is also difficult sometimes, right? To work with others. Sometimes it's easier just to do it on our own. I find that. But then sometimes we realize we can't do it on our own, can we? So say you're a gifted evangelist. We love you. I respect you. And we want you to do it. So Alpha says you should cook a meal and serve it to people and then do the evangelism work at Alpha. So there's a problem, because I know from personal experience that the gift of service that shows up with cooking a meal is actually fairly difficult. I can cook chicken, and I can cook potatoes, I can, what else is in a meal? Bread, potatoes, lots of potatoes in my food. But the chicken will be ready half an hour before the bread will come out. I didn't cook homemade bread. What am I talking about? The chicken will come out of the oven half an hour before the potatoes, and I won't even have started cutting the salad, and I'm going to be serving the chicken as a entree, and then we'll eventually get to the salad at dessert time, perhaps. So there is a bunch of complex things that have to happen for a meal to be served, and this is a way we can show we're one body in doing Alpha. This is not a sneaky way to get you to volunteer to cook food for Alpha, okay? Because the Holy Spirit may want you instead to do something different with your time. And that's very legit, and you should be doing that. But it's just a current need is that there are some people who are going to host Alpha at their home, but they're not capable of doing the meal. And there are some people who would thrive at being able to cook the meal and deliver it to that family to do Alpha. That's a body working together. So if the evangelist person says, I don't need somebody to come and cook the meal, it's all about the evangelism. Or if the food person says, how come I'm cooking all the meals and nobody ever helps me? Everybody should be cooking meals here. Stop with this evangelism work. We're falling into this problem of undervaluing our own gift or undervaluing other people's spiritual gift when we should be working together. So if we ever come to a spot in our head where we're going down the path to say, I don't think I need that person, this verse says that person is actually indispensable to you, and it's going to be a blessing to work with that person. So the final point, this is a very brief point. This is the point of it's hard to know how to excel in your use of your gift if you don't know how it fits into the whole body. And what I mean by that is there's about, we could probably list 20 or 25 activities that happen at just this local church. It's hard to know how you fit in and work as a body with the others in the group, because there isn't that big picture look at it where there's a spot where you can go and talk to the people who are doing the music, or talk to the people who are doing the service, or talk to the ones who are preparing the meals at home for the elderly, and find out about everything that's happening. And I'm not announcing what happens next, but that may be the sort of thing that we could do next, is to have a time together to talk about what does the Bible say a church is to do, and how are we doing it, and how could you have opportunities to fit in with your spiritual gift and work together with others at this church? Okay, that's not a promise, but that is a gap that's still there for how we function together as a body of Christians. So in closing, I'll just emphasize the points is that the strive is effort. It means try. To excel, that means quality and quantity of how much and how often we are using our gift. And building up the church is the measure of quality. Does it result in blessing for other people? And here's maybe just 4 points then about how 1 Corinthians 12 would give us examples for how to do this. The first one is to point people to Jesus, the giver of life. The next one is rely on the Holy Spirit. See your activities as being a spiritual work. Pray about it. The third one is look and see how is it building up another person. The fourth one is to value all gifts. Value your own and to value other people's gifts. And then the last one is to know how it fits in, although we didn't really cover it today. Okay, I really was trying to provoke you to consider something differently this year, maybe even in this week, to put on your to-do list, show mercy 6 times. I don't know how that works for you, but to strive, to take it to the next step for how you do the ministry in this coming year. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I think again of hopelessness in the Arctic, the Canadian Arctic. But Lord, there's hopelessness in hearts all around us as well. A purposelessness to life. But yet I see that you're a God of purpose. You're a God who's asked us just to share in your work. That you give us the abilities to do it. You give us the blessing. You bless the efforts we with fruit. And that you're asking us to trust you, to make it a priority. Lord, where do we not trust you? We thank you, our God and Savior, for not only life, but also new life, for salvation, for a God who is willing to die for us on the cross. We praise you, Savior. Lord, I pray that your word will be magnified here from this talk, that it will sink deep into each of our hearts and mine too. Anything I said that wasn't exactly how you wanted it presented, Lord, it'll just get forgotten, and that your word will be working powerfully amongst our heart, in our hearts today, Jesus. We ask this in your name, Savior. Amen.